Okay. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. So we're going to be This is another installment of our Pikuach Nefesh and Hatzalas Nefashes, and it sort of evolved into a medical ethics series. This is going to be another installment. Like I mentioned, next week in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to have a pre-Hanukkah shiur. We'll go through some ideas about Hanukkah and what we're celebrating regarding Hanukkah. This shiur is about Hatzolas Ubrim. It's about the status of a fetus and an embryo and a fetus. And the question basically is the unborn fetus or embryo and fetus, even later in the pregnancy, is an unborn child considered a nefesh? Is it considered a full person? Is it considered a nefesh? Is it considered having the complete status of a human being, of a nefesh? And that would be relevant, among other things, to two very sensitive issues. Number one, is there a chiyuv hatzala? Would there be a requirement to save a fetus? Is there the same level of chiyuv hatzala? Is there v'chai behen? Is there pikuach nefesh on an uber? So that would mean, could I violate Shabbos to save an uber? Or can we violate Yom Kippur to save an uber? Can we violate other mitzvahs? Can we feed the mother non-kosher food, if necessary, to save an uber? And then the other question, of course, would be hapala. Is it permitted to abort a fetus? Is the fetus considered a human being? Is there an iser ritzicha? Would it be considered an act of murder to abort a fetus? Or would it be a lesser prohibition? We'll soon see that it's certainly prohibited for no reason at all. But is it under the category of ritzicha? Would it be considered an act of murder, where obviously it would be more stringent and more severe? We would have to approach the issue more carefully. Or is it a lesser, a more minor violation of chavala, of just a destructive act, or other possible violations? So these are the issues surrounding the question, the fundamental question, does an embryo and a fetus, the reason why I keep on interchanging between these words is because you have less than 40 days and more than 40 days. The question is, as the baby is growing in the mother's womb, does it have the status of a nefesh? And this is both Nageya Hatzala, the requirement to save another human being, V'chai behen, Bikuach Nefesh, and it's also relevant to the question of Hapala. If, unfortunately, we would have to perform an abortion, would we be allowed to, and what kind of prohibition are we dealing with? So, these are well-known marmakaimis. It's fascinating to go through these marmakaimis and the extreme positions on either side of the spectrum. There's a rush in Maseches Yuma, which is speaking about Yom Kippur, in the eighth parak of Maseches Yuma. It's a long rush there, so I quoted a lot of it. Let's learn the rush together, because this would serve as the basis for our discussion. So, Vizela Shoinus, here's a quote of the rush. This is the rush speaking. Kosav Baal Halachos. So the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, a very early Rishon, writes, Isha Ubra, a pregnant woman, an expecting woman, the Adina, where we know, the Eloi Achla, that if she does not break her fast and eat, so in this case the rush is specifically referring to Yom Kippur, if you have a pregnant woman, where we know that if she does not break her fast and eat, Mis Akir Vlada, so she's going to lose the pregnancy. So Avogad the Suffolk Ben Kayamahu, Suffolk Nefel. So the rush points out, even though we don't even know if the fetus will prove to be viable, because we don't even know if the baby would last 9 months in the womb. The Gemara discusses that if the baby is born before 7 months in those days, or 8 months, there was a special category of an 8 month, a defective uber, that might be a nafel, it might have the status of a miscarriage in any case. So we don't even know if this uber is going to be a viable uber, but in the meantime, the baby's alive. So says the rush, nevertheless, shapir dami litema, we're allowed to give the woman food in order to save the uber. That's what the Baal Halachos Gedolos writes. Now, the Ritz Geyois, who is also a very early Rishon, he adds to this. The Lav Yadia Didan Talyamelsa. It doesn't depend on us. We don't have to sit here evaluating whether or not, if the woman continues to fast on Yom Kippur, for example, if it will endanger the fetus. It doesn't depend on us. Ela Biyadias Dida. It depends totally on how the woman feels. Ubedaita Talyamelsa. And it depends on her. So the way the Gemara describes it, the scenario was that a woman, she smelled something and that created an urge to eat that particular food, and now the woman feels faint. The woman feels that if she doesn't have that, it's going to damage the fetus. So says the Rush, the Mishaharicha, Noisnilla, we immediately give her the food, Ukachoila dami, and she's considered to be a choila sheesh boisakam. So this is both the Bahag and the Ritz Geyis, and the Ritz Geyis is actually building on what the Bahag says. The Bahag says that we would feed the woman in order to save the baby, and the Ritz Geyis adds on that we can trust her. We can trust her intuition. If she feels that her pregnancy is in danger, she's allowed to break her fast. We don't have to make any assessment. Now, it's up to her. Now, the Ramban writes that we see mitoch divrei bal halachos, we see from this, the Mishum Sakonas Vlad Lechudei Michalalit. You see from here that by virtue of a sakona to the Vlad, because the way the Rishonim are speaking, the question is if it'll be Misaker Vlada. The question is if she'll lose the pregnancy. And the Ritz Geyis says it depends on her. So the Ramban writes, we see from these great Rishonim that Sakonas Vlad Lechud Michalalit, that we would be willing, we'd be prepared to violate Yom Kippur to save the Vlad itself, even if the woman's life is not in danger. Even if there's no concern for the mother's life, but even for the unborn fetus, we would be willing, we'd be prepared to violate Yom Kippur. The Hainu de Garcin and the Shili Perikama de Erchen, and this is the Ramban speaking, the Ramban brings a support to the Bahag, because it says in Erchen, Ha'isha sheyashva ala mishpar. So this is on Dav Zayin and Erchin. If a woman is on the birthing stool, which means that she's in labor, umesa. So lo yaleinu. So God forbid, a woman passes away in childbirth. It was very common in the hundreds of years ago. B'shamis. So mevi'en sakin v'koyin kresa umoitzin es avlad. So says the Gemara in Erchin. This is a Gemara that if a woman, God forbid, would pass away during labor, so even if it was Shabbos, we would carry a knife in the Rishus HaRabim in order to perform an emergency cesarean in order to try to save the Uber. It's a Mefurish Gemara in Erchin, Umatzin es Avlat. And the Gemara goes so far as say Pshita. So the Gemara says, isn't this obvious that we would violate Shabbos to save the Uber? My Ovid, what are we doing? Mechatech v'basar v'alma, if the woman already passed away. So what malacha is there to save the Uber? So says the Gemara, Amar Rava le'nitzrecha el lahavi sakin derech Rishus HaRabim. The answer is that we'd be even prepared to do a real malacha of carrying the knife through the Rishus HaRabim, or any malacha that's necessary to save the Uber. So this is these Gemaras here are not for the faint-hearted. These are it's a very sensitive topic, a very, very severe situation, very extreme situations. And the Gemara tells us that even on Shabbos, we would be prepared to violate the Shabbos in order to save the Uber. And then the Gemara says, "My Kamashmulan, still, what's the Chiddush? The Al Sveika Mechal in Shabbos is the Chiddush that we're prepared to violate Shabbos out of doubt in order to attempt to save the Uber after the mother had already passed away. Tanina, Sabik Chai, Sabik Neis, Mufachin, that we know that already. If a building, Loyaleno, collapses on someone, so we're prepared to violate Shabbos to attempt to save the person, a rescue mission, even though we're no longer certain that the person's still alive. Nevertheless, we would perform malacha to save the person. So what's the novelty here that we're prepared to violate Shabbos for the maybe that we can salvage, we can save the Uber? So the Gemara says a chiddush. Mao de teima hasam hu dehava lechazaka dechiyusa. When we normally perform a rescue mission on Shabbos, even though there might not be any survivors, that's because the people in question had a chazaka d'chiyus. The status quo was that they were alive. So perhaps, although it's a suffix, although we have a doubt, is the person still alive or not? But there's a chazaka. there was a status quo that the person was alive. So that's why we're allowed to violate the Shabbos, because there was definitely a life to save. The question is, maybe the life is no more, but there was a life to save. However, in this case, the way the rush started off the discussion over here, when it comes to a fetus, there was no chazaka dechias meikara. The fetus, the baby, never established itself as a viable human being. So perhaps we would not be allowed to violate the Shabbos. Kamash malam. That's the chiddush of the statement of the Gemara in Erchin. The Gemara in Erchin tells us that if a woman is on the birthing stool and lo yaleinu, she passes away during pregnancy, the halacha is that you can violate the Shabbos to save the suffic over. What's the chiddush? Of course you could. You can always violate Shabbos to attempt to save someone, to put on a rescue mission. The answer is because it's a bigger chiddush over here, because the Uber never even had a chazaka d'chiyus. The Uber never established itself as a viable human being. Nevertheless, we can still save the baby, the Uber, al hatzad, in the chance that it's a viable fetus. That's what the Ramban essentially is bringing a raya to the Bahag, that indeed the Uber is a nefesh, and therefore it has v'chai b'hem, it enjoys the full rights of Hatzalas Nefashis, and we're allowed to be Doiches Shabbos in order to save the Uber. That's the Shita of the Bahag, and the Ramban brings a raya to the Bahag from the Gemara in Erchin. Now the Ramban brings a dissenting opinion. Ika de Sfirale, there are those who hold the Ein Machal in Mishum Nefeim, that we would not violate Yom Kippur or Shabbos in order to save a fetus. Ela Uber Sheharicha, so it's a whole different story. You know what's going on in the Gemara in Yuma? When the Gemara in Yuma describes that when the woman she smelled some food and now she has a temptation and she feels that her pregnancy is in danger, and we let her eat on Yom Kippur, you know what situation the Gemara is describing? Cheshasha demisa didahi. So says an opposing opinion. What we're concerned about is the life of the woman. Shekol hamapelas b'cheska sakanahi, because just as a woman having a child is considered sakanas nefashis, it warrants violating Shabbos or Yom Kippur, so too, to prevent the woman from miscarrying, also has the status of sakanas nefashis for the mother. And therefore we would simply violate Yom Kippur or Shabbos for the purpose of saving, of keeping the mother safe, of preventing the mother from being at risk, in danger. So that's the machlekes. Now we have to keep track of all the sources. We have to go back now. So according to this dissenting opinion, that the reason we save the Uber is because it puts the mother in sakana, how do we understand the Gemara in Erchin? The Gemara in Erchin that we just quoted, that if a woman already, Loyalenu, passed away during childbirth, the halacha is that you're allowed to violate the Shabbos to save the Uber. If this second opinion holds, that the Uber is not a nefesh and does not enjoy the rights of Atzalas Nefashis, it's not a full, it does not nigmar, it was not complete yet, the status of nefesh, so how does the Gemara in Erchin permit us to violate Shabbos to save the Uber? So the Ramban gives us a brilliant answer. But time with Yoshevis ala Mishbar, so according to the second opinion, the reason you can violate the Shabbos to save the Uber after the mother already passed away, so clearly we're not concerned with the mother, we're concerned with the Uber, Taima achrenahu, it's a whole different reason. Harehu ki elud. The answer is because once the mother passes away and the baby inside is no longer dependent on the vitality of the mother, su lav yerech imoy, the baby is no longer merely a limb, an appendage of the mother. The lav b'dido atalia, because obviously the life of the Uber is no longer dependent, is no longer interdependent on the mother. Elechaihu, he's already considered his own life because the mother is no longer providing vitality to the Uber. Deles ne'ula b'fanav. Now we look at the baby inside the body of the mother as if the baby was already born. And it's as if it's merely in a box. It's as if there's a door that's sealed in front of the baby. And the only novelty is that the baby never established itself as a viable fetus, like we said before. And we're allowed to violate the Shabbos. So it's a fascinating discussion. Is the uber, is the fetus, considered a nefesh or not? Is it considered a full-grown human being or not? So there are two opinions in the Rush. The first opinion in the Rush says that you're allowed to violate Shabbos or Yom Kippur to save the fetus, even if the mother's life is not in danger, because the fetus is already considered to be a nefesh. It's already considered to be a viable human being. It never established itself, but it's at least a suffix human being, and you're allowed to violate Shabbos for suffix because nefesh. That's what the first opinion says. And the proof to that is that we would be willing to violate Shabbos, to carry the knife through the Rishus HaRabim, even if the mother is no longer with us. We still would violate the Shabbos in order to save the fetus. Clearly, the fetus is considered a nefesh. The opposing opinion says, no, not so fast. Maybe the uber is not yet considered a nefesh, and maybe we would not be allowed to violate Shabbos to save the uber. The reason why we're feeding the mother on Yom Kippur is to save the mother, because the very act of miscarrying is considered endangering the mother's life. What about the Gemara in Erchin? How are we allowed to violate the Shabbos to save the uber? So says the Rambam, because when the mother passed away, the uber, the fetus, is no longer a fetus, because the fetus is no longer sustained, it's no longer subsisting on the mother's vitality. The mother passed away. It's as if the uber was born. It's only a door. It's in a box. It's munach bekufsa. It's like in a box, and that's why you're allowed to violate the Shabbos for the uber. Now the Rush sums up this discussion. It's very interesting. The Rush says at the end of item Beis, the lo yodati matzarech lekol elu hadikdukim. So the Rush says, I don't know what the whole tumult is about. What's the whole discussion, says the Rush? It's a moot point. The lo mishkachas sakonas uber b'lo sakonas ubra. It's almost like an irrelevant point, because you'll never have a sakana to the uber if there's no sakana to the mother, v'lo sakana ubra, v'lo sakana uber, and you'll never have a sakana to the mother that's not a sakana to the uber. So it's really an irrelevant point whether we're out to save the fetus or out to save the mother, because whenever the baby's in danger, the mother's in danger. Whenever the mother's in danger, the baby's in danger. So it really is irrelevant to pinpoint, does the uber have a din of a nefesh? Because anytime there would be a question of the pregnancy, it'll automatically justify saving the uber in order to keep the mother out of risk. You can't separate the two issues. A risk to one is automatically a risk to the other. That's what the Rush says. We see from here in item Gimel that there's a machlekes rishonim if we have the right to be doicha Shabbos or Yom Kippur or any other prohibition for that matter for the purpose of the uber. Is there a din v'chai behem? Is there a din hatzalas nefashis on the uber? Now, and the Rush says it's almost irrelevant because it'll always be negeya to save the mother anyway. Now, the Chavas Yoyer and the Igris Moshe, so the Chavas Yoyer and the Igris Moshe, they both say, the Chavas Yoyer is in Simen Lamed Aleph, it's a thin safe for Chagas, it's one Shuvat Lamed Aleph, the Igris Moshe, Chesha Mishpat Chelik Beis, Simen Samach Tes, they both say that this is Pashut, this is axiomatic, that if we want to discuss if you would be able to abort a fetus, so says Rav Moshe and the Chavas Yoyer, that this is Pasha, this is axiomatic, that if there's a mitzvah to save an uber, if you're allowed to be Doiche Shabbos or Doiche Yom Kippur to save an uber, the way the first opinion in the Ramban says, so then it's certainly forbidden to abort the uber, right? Says Rav Moshe, violating Shabbos to save an uber is not an optional thing. It's not as if you want, you can abort the uber. If you want, you can violate Shabbos to save the uber. It's impossible. It's inconceivable that it's up to us. We can choose what we want to do. Clearly, if you're allowed to violate Shabbos to save the uber, that means that we're obligated to violate Shabbos to save the uber. There is a mitzvah of hatzalas nefashis on the uber. And of course, it would be forbidden to abort a fetus if you see that there's a mitzvah to keep it alive ad kedei kach, to the extent that you can be doicha Shabbos. That's axiomatic. There's no compromising. There's no budging on that. That's non-negotiable. If you can be doicha Shabbos to save the uber, certainly the uber has a din nefesh, and you would not be allowed, under any circumstances, we'll soon see, to abort a fetus for no important reason. We'll see where the exception is. That is what Rav Moshe says in the Chavos Yoresh. So our whole discussion about whether or not a fetus has a din nefesh or not would really be in the second opinion of the Ramban, who says that you cannot be doich. Okay. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, this is something that's well known. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Ironically, it's more forbidden for a non-Jew to perform an abortion, a non-Jewish doctor to perform an abortion, than it is for a Jewish doctor. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Afalo Ubrin. So a non-Jew, it's a capital crime for a non-Jewish doctor to perform an abortion. For a non-Jew, in the world of non-Jew, an Uber is certainly considered a nefesh, and to snuff out the Uber, that would be an act of murder. My time with Rabbi Shmuel, what's the reason for Rabbi Shmuel? Because the Pasuk says, earlier on in Bereishis, Shoifech dam ha'adam, ba'adam dama yishofech. That Shoifech dam ha'adam, so the Pasuk says, if a man spills another man's blood, murder, ba'adam dama yishofech, so his blood should be spilled through man. So this is the Pasuk that says that murder is a capital punishment, a capital crime. But the Gemara makes a play on words. The Gemara has a drasha. Dam ha'adam ba'adam. Spilling the blood of one man who's inside another man, inside a human being. Eza adam shehu ba'adam. What's an example of one person inside another? Havi oimer ze ubra shemei imoy. That's a fetus in the womb of the mother. So there's a clear pasuk, according to the Rabbi Shmuel, that a non-Jew, this is one of the mitzvahs by the Ben Noach, a non-Jew is chayev for ritzicha, it's an act of murder to abort a fetus, and it will be considered a capital crime. We see from here that an akum who aborts a fetus will be chayev misa. Now Tosfos says in Sanhedrin, that nun tes amet aleph, that although that's not the case for a Jewish doctor, by the way, how do we know that for a Jewish doctor to abort a fetus, regardless of what the nature of the aveira is, even if it's considered an act of murder, even if the uber is a nefesh, nevertheless, the halacha is it's not a capital crime. How do we know that? Because we know, the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, that if a man accidentally aborts a fetus, so the vladais, he has to reimburse the husband for the vladais. And we know that whenever a capital crime with a monetary obligation coincide, so we say kamle b'derabamine, the nefesh, the nefashis paters the mum. The fact that the one who aborts the fetus has to reimburse the husband monetarily for the fetus, there's a din chavala, that proves that it's not a capital crime. Tosfos says in Sanhedrin that there's no such thing, something that's forbidden for a non-Jew, that it should be permitted for a Jew. There's no such thing. We have more mitzvahs than a non-Jew. This is a rule. If something is forbidden for a non-Jew, it's certainly forbidden for a Jew. There's no such thing as something that's permitted for us and forbidden for a non-Jew. So the fact that a non-Jew, it's a capital crime, at least for us, it's forbidden. But Tosfos doesn't say what the nature of the prohibition is. He just says that that's also axiomatic, that if it's forbidden for a non-Jew, it's even a capital crime for a non-Jew, it's at least forbidden for a Jew. So what we've established is that, number one, it's definitely forbidden to just arbitrarily perform an abortion. That's clear. That goes without saying. We all know that. How do we know that? Because for a non-Jew, it's even a capital crime. So for a Jew, it can't be that it's permitted if for a non-Jew, it's a capital crime. It's at least forbidden for a Jew. We haven't yet identified what the nature of the prohibition is. However, we do have a source to glean from that according to the first opinion of the Ramban, you're allowed to violate Shabbos and Yom Kippur to save a fetus. That would show that a fetus is a nefesh and it has v'chai behem, it has hatzalas nefashis, so then seemingly to abort the fetus would be an act of murder, although it wouldn't carry with it a capital crime. It would be analogous to killing a treifa. Sometimes you have a person who, or a chai nefesh, a geisis. Sometimes you have a person who it does not carry a capital punishment to kill that person, but it's still considered an act of ritzicha. So if there's hatzalas nefashis on the uber, so certainly it would be forbidden to abort. However, the second opinion that says that we're not allowed to violate Shabbos for the sake of the uber. It's only if it endangers the mother. We do not yet know what the nature of the prohibition is, because that might indicate that the uber is not considered to be a nefesh. Let's go on. There's another
yeah, gemara. Question.
Sure.
Why can't we say if the suffix is on whether the uber is a nefesh or not?
Yeah.
That alone, that suffix itself would be justify.
That's a very good question. Right. It's a machlekes yeshayim. So you're right. In other words, if we take a step back and we don't know. So that might justify being doicha because it's a suffix nefashis, perhaps. But each opinion is sure, right? So according to the opinion, we're trying to sort through the opinions. According to the opinion who says that you can be doicha Shabbos, they clearly consider the uber to be a nefesh. But according to the second opinion who says you cannot be doicha Shabbos to save the uber, it's about the mother, so then that opinion clearly says that it's not a nefesh, right? So if we don't have a hachra on the machlekes, then we would have to decide how we're going to behave in this suffix. But in the meantime, each opinion seems pretty sure about itself. Now, there's another Gemara in Erchin. This is not a Gemara for the faint-hearted. If you have a woman, a pregnant woman, who's on death row, so maybe the woman committed a murder, maybe the woman was Michal Shabbos, maybe the woman practiced witchcraft, any of the capital crimes, any of the punishments, imagine you have a pregnant woman on death row. So the Gemara tells us, it's a Mishnah in Erchan, on that same Amud of the other Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Erchan Daf Zayin, but Yisha Shiyatza Liharig, if a woman goes and she's about to be, she's going to be executed, Ein Mantinan La Achatele, we do not wait for her to give birth. That would be an Inui Hadin. That would be in a way unfair to the mother, actually. And we execute the woman even if the woman is pregnant. The Gemara is actually, astoundingly, the Gemara asks, Pshita, that's obvious that you wouldn't wait. Gufahi, the uber is part of the body of the mother. So says the Gemara Itzrich, Salka Datechamina Hoylu Ksiv Asher Yoshis Olav Baal Hu Isha. So this is what we quoted before. If someone causes a woman to miscarry, he has to reimburse the husband. So maybe we can't execute the woman while she's pregnant because you're causing a loss to the husband. It's an incredible Gemara. Says the Gemara, Kamash Malam, how do you know? How do we know we don't wait for the mother to give birth? Because the pasuk says umesu gam shnehem. So simply put, the pasuk is referring to an adulteress. So we would put to death the woman and her adulterer. But the pasuk also says gam shnehem. The extra word gam, it includes the vlad along with the mother. Another Gemara, the Gemara expounds on this. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Hu Isha, Hayotza Liharig, if a woman is going to be executed. So we actually abort the fetus before we execute the mother in order that it shouldn't be a nivul, that it should be a clean job, and it shouldn't be a disgraceful act that we first kill the mother and then the woman has the baby. It's a gruesome idea. Instead, we have a clean abortion before we execute the mother. So this would seem that you're allowed to perform an abortion. Then we have the Gemara that we just quoted before. Omer of Nachman, Omer Shmuel, if a woman is on the birthing stool, she's in labor, and she passes away, we violate the Shabbos to save the uber. And Rava says we're willing to even violate a deraisa of carrying a knife through the rishus rabbi. So the second Gemara was the Gemara that we quoted earlier, that we would violate Shabbos to save the uber. The first Gemara says that we're allowed to abort the fetus while we're executing the mother. So now here's an astounding thing. The Marit in Kshuvas Tzadik Tes writes, he brings a proof from this Gemara in Erchin. The fact that we're allowed to abort the fetus before we execute the mother, this is a proof that the uber does not have a din nefesh, that you're allowed to perform an abortion. He says the only problem is kavala. It's called it's bodily injury. It's battery. It's bodily injury. The only reason you can't perform an abortion, it's not an act of ritzicha, says the Maritz, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to abort the fetus before we execute the mother. It's not an act of ritzicha, says the Maritz. It's simply chavala. It's just bodily harm. And under certain circumstances, if the mother requires it for her health, for her well-being, the poskim discuss what happens if a woman is carrying a mamzer, and it's going to be a busha to the mishpacha, pgam mishpacha, chil Hashem. So some poskim, based on this gemara in Erchin, that you're allowed to abort the fetus in order before we execute the mother, they bring a proof from there that it's not a nefesh, and that you're allowed to perform an abortion under extenuating circumstances. That's what the Maritz says in Kshuva Tzadik Tess. Now, I wrote here in brackets that if we're keeping our eye on the ball, so the Maritz would obviously hold that the Uber is not a nefesh. We would not be allowed to violate Shabbos to save an Uber. He must subscribe to the second opinion that we cited earlier in the Rush, in the Ramban, that the reason we're violating Shabbos to save the Uber after the mother passed away is because it's considered like the Uber was already born, like we quoted before. And otherwise, an Uber who's subsisting on the mother's vitality would not be considered a nefesh. And according to Marit, under extenuating circumstances, you would be allowed to perform an abortion. That's what the Marit holds. Fascinating. Now, according to the opinion of the Ramban, that we are allowed to violate Shabbos to save a fetus, so clearly the fetus does have a din nefesh, and then clearly we would not be allowed to perform an abortion because it would be an act of murder. So how do we explain the Gemara in Erchin that we first abort the fetus before we execute the mother? So really it's an obvious distinction. According to the opinions that we do doiches Shabbos to save the Uber, we have to say that the reason we could abort the fetus before we execute the mother in order that it should be to avoid the nivul is because the Uber is also part of the mother, and the mother was convicted in the capital crime, so the Uber is part of the mother. And because we're killing the mother anyway, we're allowed to abort the fetus even before we kill the mother. The truth is, it's a kasha on the Marit. How could the Marit even attempt to prove from this Gemara that the fetus is not a nefesh and that you're allowed to perform an abortion for any extenuating circumstances? If you look back in item hey, I quoted the Gemara. The Gemara says, pshita gufahi. The Gemara says, isn't it obvious that you can abort the Uber before we execute the mother? It's gufa, it's part of her body, right? The Gemara clearly, it doesn't just say, why not? The Gemara says the reason why it's obvious that you can abort the fetus in this particular case is because the fetus is part of the mother and it's already included in the Gemar Din, in the Chiyav Misa of the mother. It's almost astounding that the Marit would even bring a raya from this Gemara Fakert, that the Uber is not considered to be a nefesh if the Gemara itself says that the reason why it was obvious to the Gemara that we can terminate the Vlad is because it's gufa, because it's part of the mother. So if anything, on the contrary, it would seem to indicate that you, under ordinary circumstances, it would be obvious that you would not be allowed to terminate the Vlad. That is the back and forth, how these opinions would understand the Gemara in Erchin. So the two Gemaras in Erchin are basically polarized. We don't have a clear proof, because one Gemara talks about aborting the fetus when the mother already has a conviction, where we'd be allowed to kill the mother and the baby along with the mother anyway. The other Gemara that says that we do save the fetus is after the mother already passed away, where one could argue that the fetus is no longer a fetus. It's as if it's born already because the mother is no longer among the living. So we really have two extreme cases. We don't have like a clear direction. Does the Uber have a din nefesh? The fact that we're doiches Shabbos in Yom Kippur, that might even be to save the mother. So it's fascinating how there's no clear-cut Gemara whether the Uber is considered a nefesh. We have the Rishonim, but the Gemaras themselves are speaking around the circumstance, they're not hitting it on the head. There's a Mishnah in Always, and here's the clinch.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Sorry, we don't have the sources inside. Is there any discussion in that second Gemara in Erechin? Do we know if the woman is visibly pregnant? I mean, it seems to say that you puncture her womb, so there shouldn't be a nipple, but is that a case where they know that she's pregnant?
Yeah, it's Hooker Ubra. Yeah, it's Hooker Ubra over there. Yes, actually. The Gemara puts it together with the woman who's on the birthing stool. Like, she's in the same stage of pregnancy, even if she's in the third trimester. Correct. Very good point, Jeff. Now, there's a Mishnah in Always. Now, here's a famous Gemara. It's brought in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's a Mishnah in Always. Ho'isha shehi, this is item test. Ho'isha shehi maksha leilid. If you have a woman who's having trouble, she's struggling in the labor, and it's posing a risk to the mother's life. So the Gemara, the Mishnah clearly says, mechatchen es avla b'neyeha, so we abort the fetus in order to save the mother, umetzien oisai evarim evarim, and we would surgically remove the baby after we aborted it in order to save the mother's life. Because the mother's life takes precedence. That's what the Mishnah says. This is before the baby was born. Yatza rubo, if the majority of the baby was born, and the girsa we have in the Gemara is rosho. So once the baby has the status of being born, then we're not allowed to abort, to terminate the baby, even though the remainder of the birth is endangering the mother. We're not allowed to save one person's life by terminating another life. This is brought in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So now we have a distinction in the Mishnah. Before the baby is born, you're allowed to perform an abortion to save the mother. Once the baby has a status of being born, even though the baby is endangering the mother, we're not allowed to terminate the baby. Rashi in Sanhedrin says the difference. So in the second half of the paragraph tests, so I quoted the Rashi. The reason you can terminate the uber to save the mother, says Rashi, because we know you can't kill one person to save another. Why can we perform an abortion to save the mother, says Rashi? Because man shel yatza la'avir ha'ola, as long as the baby wasn't born, lav nefesh hu, the baby's not a nefesh. We are allowed to terminate the uber to save the mother. Clearly, Rashi says that it's not a nefesh before it's born. The question is, how can we justify aborting the fetus to save the mother? They're both human beings. How can you kill one to save another? Says Rashi, before the baby is born, it doesn't have the status of a nefesh. Avo yotza rosho, once the baby is born, ein noigen boy, we can't touch it, lahargoy, the habaleki alud, because once the baby has the status of being born, even if the woman is still in labor, ein doichin nefesh mitei nefesh, we're not allowed to save one person's life with another. So it's mavur from Rashi that before the baby's born, it's not considered a nefesh. So we know there's a principle we can't save one life with another. How are we allowed to abort the fetus to save the mother, says Rashi, because it's not a nefesh yet. So now Rashi doesn't tell us clearly if you're allowed to violate Shabbos to save an uber. Maybe Rashi holds, like the second opinion, that we're always violating the Shabbos to save the mother. Maybe Rashi holds, like the second opinion, that we only can violate Shabbos to save the uber if the mother already passed away. Rashi doesn't tell us, but Rashi does say one thing, that the uber is not considered to be a nefesh. However, the Rambam, and the Rambam is the big maramukim on this topic. The Rambam says in Hilchos Ritzeach and Shmiras Nefesh, look what he says, Lafika choyru chachamim, the chachamim paskin, that an ubra shehi maksha lele, if a woman is struggling, mutter lachtecha ubra b'meyah, we can perform the abortion, ben besam, whether it's with the medicine, ben biyad, whether it's manually, mipnei shehu kirodef achreha laharga, because the uber is a rodef, just like if you have a real live person who's pursuing somebody else to kill that person. It's a mitzvah to kill the pursuer. The pursuer forfeited his life because the pursuer is running after somebody else. So even though the pursuer is a full-fledged human being, but he lost his rights, he forfeited his life because he's a pursuer, says the Rambam, the reason we can perform the abortion is because the fetus is considered pursuing the life of the mother. It's a chiddush. Even though it's not the baby's fault, the baby's not doing it intentionally, but the license to abort the baby is because the baby has the status of a rodef. Now, the obvious question is, if the baby has the status of a rodef, even if the baby already is born, we should be allowed to terminate the baby in order to save the mother as a rodef. That's something that the poskim struggle with and grapple with. But this much is certain, that the Rambam says we can perform the abortion only under the clause of rodef. What do we see from the Rambam? That the Rambam holds that an uber is a full-blown nefesh, because we see that we have to bring the concept of rodef into the picture. The only justifiable way to perform the abortion on the baby is only by invoking the clause of rodef. We have to label the baby a rodef. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to kill the baby for pikuach nefesh for the mother. We would treat it as if you're trading one life in for another. We see clearly from the Rambam that the baby has the din of a nefesh. The Rambam would clearly hold that you can be doicha Shabbos to save the uber, because the uber has a din of a nefesh. It's only through rodef that we can abort this baby to save the mother. The Shulchan Aruch brings the Lashon of the Rambam, and therefore it seems pretty clear that the final psak is that the baby does have a din nefesh, and that's why we're always used to hearing that it's forbidden to perform an abortion for any reason other than the baby causing harm, risk putting them, endangering the mother's life because of roidif. That's the only reason to be able to perform an abortion. Otherwise, it will be considered an act of ritzicha. What's the proof? Because the Rambam has to invoke the clause of rodef. The Igros Moshe says that the fact that we have to bring the clause of rodef shows that it's mamish adin ritzicha, and you wouldn't be able to perform an abortion for any other extenuating circumstances. If you look at the end of Yud Beis, Rav Moshe goes so far to say, and this is astounding, that the tshuva of the Marit, who cited the Gemara in Erchin that we brought earlier, it's a forgery, he says. He says some ignorant Talmud must have written this tshuva in the name of the Marit. It's a forgery. And the Rav Moshe goes on and on. He's at length to rage against this Marit. And he says the Marit doesn't even bring the Rambam, who says you need rodef. So clearly, whoever wrote this tshuva is not really the great Marit. It must be a forgery, because at least you have to bring the Rambam, at least bring the Rambam and show that it's a rodef, and then maybe bring the Rashi that it's not called a nefesh. But just to say on your own that you're that it's not a nefesh without citing the great Rambam, that indicates this tshuva cannot be relied upon. Now, moving over to item Yud Dalid, it comes out that it might even be a machlekes. Rashi says that the fetus is not a nefesh, and that's why we can save the mother. Some Rishonim hold that you can't violate Shabbos on account of the nefesh. That would seem to indicate that it's not a nefesh, and that would be the tshuva of the Marit. But like we said, the Rambam and the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch all prove that it is a nefesh. We would violate Shabbos on account of the fetus, and it would be an act of ritzicha to abort the uber. The only heter would be because of roidef. It just happens not to have it doesn't carry with it a capital punishment, the fact that you have to reimburse the couple for the vladis if a person ever causes a miscarriage. But it would be an act of ritzicha to abort the fetus. Now, if a woman is suffering from infertility, so we know that there are different procedures that can be performed. So there's certain interventions. There are heavier interventions, more invasive interventions. We know IVF. So IVF, the way it works is they give the woman for about a week or two before she's supposed to ovulate. They give her some hormone. It's usually a synthetic hormone. It creates a super ovulation. They remove the eggs from the ovaries before she ovulates, and then they try to conceive. They take the sperm from the male, and they try to create a conception in the petri dish. Now, what it's very expensive, and they also want to try to maximize. So they usually put a few of the conceived eggs back into the womb, and now you have a woman who's sometimes expecting 5 or 6 pregnancies. It's obviously dangerous to allow it to continue that way. So the standard procedure is that they would terminate any of the extra pregnancies. They would down to, let's say, two or three pregnancies. They would remove the other ones. So the question is, if you're allowed to do this, the Tzitz Eliezer writes that you're allowed to, because it's not a nefesh. He seems to be going with Rashi, and it's not an Issur Tzicha. And he says there that Rabbi Yashiv also permitted it. Now, that would be like the words of Rashi, that he's not called a nefesh, like the Marit. According to the Igros Moshe, it would be a question of ritzicha. So the only permit to do such a thing would be if we can argue that the various pregnancies that are all going on at the same time, one is a roidif to the other. Each one is both a roidif and a nirdof. One could perhaps argue that that would justify terminating some of the pregnancies. Another thing that someone could possibly argue, remember in the beginning we cited the Rush, that any danger to the fetus is automatically considered a danger to the mother. Perhaps someone could argue that for the woman to carry 5 or 6 pregnancies, it would endanger the woman's life, and perhaps we can consider the extra fetus to be a roidif on the mother's life. So these would be, these are some of the issues, and these are the spectrum of the different shitas among the Paiskim. It's a fascinating topic, how we don't have a absolutely clear Gemara on the topic. The most we have is the Rambam, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Yashik Koyach, everybody. A heavy topic.